You are listening to a Commonwealth Bank of Australia Global Economic and Markets Research Podcast. This podcast provides general market-related information and is not intended to be an investment research report. The information contained in this podcast is based on previously published material, and before listening, you're advised to read the full Global Economic and Markets Research disclaimers, which can be found at combankresearch.com.au.
Welcome to the CommBank Global Economic and Markets Research Podcast. My name is Belinda Allen and I'm a senior economist here at CommBank, and today I'm joined by Gareth Aird, Head of Australian Economics. Gareth, good to have you on.
It's nice to have a chat again, Belinda.
It is. Now, the last chat we had was on the Reserve Bank's easing measures in November. But one of the things that has really occurred to us over probably the last month is we are starting to see some green shoots in the Australian economy. So as a result, we have just upgraded our Australian economic forecast, in particular the strength of the recovery in 2021. How are those numbers now looking?
Yeah, that's right. Look, we've left our forecast for the second half of this year unchanged. I mean, bearing in mind we're in mid-November anyway, but we still haven't seen the official data for the national accounts for Q3 or Q4. But our view on GDP is unchanged this year. We think that overall GDP will be down 3.3%. But where we have upgraded our numbers is around the recovery we expect to see next year. And then we've also extended our forecast profile to 2022. So we're actually clearly now sitting on what we would say is the optimistic side of the fence. I mean, we think that GDP growth will come in next year at around 4.25%. Followed by a lift of 3.8% in 2022. Now, that sort of growth profile is strong enough to push the unemployment rate down to 5.75% at the end of 2021 and then 5% at the end of 2022. So, look, clearly, relative to what the Reserve Bank put out in their forecast last week in the November Statement of Monetary Policy, we're more optimistic, but we think that the data is making the case to upgrade our forecast.
Now, in the note, we do go through around five different reasons why the recovery is looking stronger and next year and the year after. And, of course, no conversation can be had about the economic outlook without a discussion of the path of the virus. How is the path of the virus interlinked with the economic recovery?
Oh, look, that's it. I mean, COVID-19 has been responsible for everything that's happened this year in terms of the economy. And it's the clear risk, too, in terms of thinking about the outlook. But from where we stand today, things do look good in Australia around COVID-19. We've gone 5 days in a row now consecutively without a single case of community transmission. And whether by design or default, we've sort of ended up with a path of an elimination strategy. And so with no community transmission, we think it's only a matter of time before restrictions are more fully eased. That in turn supports economic activity. And on top of that, if nobody in the community is actually getting COVID or has COVID, then households and businesses won't be concerned about doing certain activities in terms of the risk of getting COVID itself. So those forces are actually clearly working in a positive direction. I mean, the situation here in Australia looks very different to what we're seeing offshore. But look, we think we're at a stage now where the threat of COVID to the economy, the domestic economy, that is, has diminished quite materially.
And one of the things that we have seen internationally, we've spoken about this with our international economics team as well, is you have to have confidence in the health outcome, because even if countries don't have restrictions in place, generally, households will self-impose restrictions on themselves because they have fear of the virus. So it is important, obviously, that you have confidence in the health outcome, confidence that, you know, you have a very limited chance of catching the virus for you to go out and really conduct your behaviour as we did pre-COVID. Now, what I think has also happened is as COVID case numbers have fallen and as we've seen very aggressive monetary and fiscal stimulus come into place in Australia, we've seen a big lift in consumer confidence, haven't we?
We have, and look, it's really encouraging, and it's quite amazing, really. The latest read that we had on consumer confidence out of the Westpac Melbourne Institute survey for November, which was published this week, that shows that consumer confidence has hit a 7-year high which is just remarkable given everything we've gone through over the past 6 months. And the index is well above 100, which is that kind of critical watermark level that separates optimists from pessimists. So what these reads on consumer confidence are actually signaling is that households as a collective are actually quite optimistic around the economic outlook. And that's a really important thing because, you know, history shows that if households feel better about the outlook, they'll be more inclined to spend. And if people are spending more, then that will create more economic activity. It'll boost employment. And then you end up in this sort of a positive feedback loop, if you like, where higher confidence begets more entrenched levels of higher confidence. And then all of a sudden, the expectations that households have turn into reality. So when we look at that data, we think it's all moving in the right direction that feeds into our view of where the economy is likely to go next year.
And one issue we can't underestimate here is a very large income support that's been provided into the Australian economy through the lift in the coronavirus supplement, through cash payments to businesses as well. And it's really that income growth and that surge in income that has really allowed households and businesses probably to build up a safety net, savings that they can draw down on. And that's really another green shoot that you've mentioned in your note.
Yeah, look, it's arguably the greenest of shoots. it's been an extraordinary story, really. I mean, the fiscal response to what has happened has been incredible, as is the whole episode. But what's been a key dynamic is that the government has pushed a lot of money into the household sector to effectively support households through the COVID period. But because we've had restrictions on what we can and can't do, a lot of that money has ended up being saved, and not because households in particular wanted to save it, they just haven't been able to spend it. So when we've run the sums, and this excludes the early withdrawal of super, we think that the Australian household sector is going to have accrued about $100 billion worth of savings over this year because of COVID, above what is normally saved, given the household sector is a net saver. But those savings can be deployed next year. And I guess when we're thinking about the economy, we put all the different little pieces of the jigsaw together, and we know that households are sitting on a ton of money, and we also know that as a collective they're feeling good about the outlook. So, you know, that all feeds into our view that we can get a savings drawdown next year, and that will support the economy.
And what is also boosting, I think, household confidence and the income side is the housing market data's actually been better than what we had expected. So house prices rose in October for the first time since April. Building approvals have held up better. Surely that housing story kind of reinforces those other green shoots that we're seeing in the economy.
Yeah, look, I think that's exactly right. And, you know, the housing market at one stage was a key source of risk for the economic outlook. If you go back to when COVID first arrived, the consensus view was that house prices would fall 10%, probably at a minimum. And, you know, there were people out there that were looking for bigger falls. And that created a second order risk that you would then end up with a negative wealth effect. Households would be concerned seeing their balance sheets hammered by falling property prices. And you'd get into a bad situation that can occur when house prices have fallen too quickly over a short period of time. But look, that risk hasn't materialised at all. And in fact, if you look at the forward-looking indicators, they're all signalling that prices are going to be rising from here. So we kind of go from the housing market being a headwind or a potential headwind on the economy to now it looks like it's going to be a tailwind. And I should add, it's not just the prices side of things too. I mean, even on the resi construction side, you know, at one stage, because of the drop-off in net overseas migration, we thought that new home build would come off quite materially, and that'd create a drag on the economy, albeit that it would be partially offset by an increase in renovation spend. But the building approvals data has held up surprisingly well. It suggests that new residential construction is not going to come off too much. And then when you overlay it with what our internal data is telling us around lending for alterations and additions, it's signalling a big lift in renovation activity. So, again, one of those things that we thought was going to be a risk in terms of thinking about the outlook, that negative risk is now not going to materialise.
One thing that we have been watching in our internal CBA credit and debit card spend data is how the reopening of the Victorian economy and easing of restrictions in other states has led to some pent-up demand. We certainly saw that in Victoria. We saw a big lift in spending on things like clothes, personal care, household furnishings and equipment, which showed us that people were willing to spend if they could spend. Now, that brings me to where there probably is some other pent-up demand going on, and that is the need and desire to take a holiday. How does a domestic tourism story play into your updated numbers?
Look, it's a fascinating one, largely because with the borders closed and the international borders I'm referring to here, we haven't had foreign tourists come here for a holiday, but equally we haven't been able to go overseas and spend the money that we normally spend overseas. And Australians actually spend twice as much holidaying abroad than what we get from foreign residents coming here for a holiday. So by closing the international borders, you actually stem that leakage, if you like, offshore. And we're always sort of held the view that what would end up happening by the international borders being closed is that Australians would end up holidaying a lot more domestically. Now, a little bit of that has gone on, but not as much as could have gone on because interstate borders have been closed. But you know, going back to the situation with COVID-19, the fact that community transmission now is ground to a halt, to us, it's only a matter of time before the interstate borders are reopened. And when that happens, you know, I think you're going to see a big pickup in domestic tourism. The international borders will still be closed, but Aussies will want to take a holiday. They'll invariably travel around to different states to do that. And I think that's going to be one of the real bright spots in terms of economic activity over next year.
Now, this is certainly a broader outlook than what the Reserve Bank of Australia delivered in their statement on monetary policy last week, which followed the easing measures that they did undertake in November. How, if the economy does evolve, as we are expecting, these green shoots really do continue, does it have any implications for monetary policy?
Look, it does. And I've got to say, after all that happened last week, I didn't think we'd be talking about the Reserve Bank again so soon. But
that's
we've got
COVID
to be forward
for
looking. Well, that is. And also, it's the nature of financial markets and the nature of what we do as economists to try and be forward looking. And in terms of thinking about the RBA from here, you know, they're committed to a bond buying program and that'll be delivered over the next 6 months. But given how we think the economy is going to evolve from here, we need to start thinking about what, you know, the various measures that the Reserve Bank has in play, what they're signaling and what the intention is behind them. And they have a target on the three-year government bond at the moment that is the same as the cash rate. And what they've said there is that by having those rates the same, the board is basically signaling that they're not expecting to increase the cash rate for at least 3 years. But we think what will happen is the economic data will end up surprising to the upside. And even though they will have no intention to increase the cash rate, they're going to need to get rid of that signal that says the cash rate is on hold for another 3 years, because the economic data will start to suggest that they won't be convinced that they need to keep policy on hold for another 3 years. So we're of the view that by the time we get to the middle of next year, the data will have improved sufficiently so that they'll no longer be holding that view that they intend to keep the cash rate on hold for another 3 years, because it's always 3 years from wherever you are in the point in time if you've got that target on the three-year bond yield, the same as the cash rate. So we think they'll ultimately end up having to remove it or at least lift the target yield to allow markets basically to price the idea that at some stage Reserve Bank could be taking the cash rate higher. I mean, it's still a long way away, but it's kind of worth thinking about, because if the economy ends up evolving as we expect next year, then I think the Reserve Bank is going to need to review what they're doing around that three-year yield target.
And we'd all agree they would have to rethink it for positive reasons, and that is because really the jobs market, which they have been focused on, would be improving. We can all look forward to see how 2021 evolves, and in particular how the path of the virus and any prospective vaccine really does impact the economic outlook. Gareth, appreciate your insights as always.
It's a pleasure. Cheers.
Now, where CBA data is cited, this refers to the bank proprietary data. As the statistics take into account only the bank's data, it may not reflect all trends in the market. All customer data used or represented is anonymised and aggregated before analysis and is used and disclosed in accordance with the group's privacy policy statement. Now, you can read our team's report on the updated economic forecasts on combankresearch.com.au, and that note was published on the 13th of November 2020 and was titled "The Australian Economic Recovery Will Be Strong. We Upgrade Our Forecasts."